Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, when I titled this sermon, I didn't think it all the way through, I guess. And so this looks pretty like hardcore right here. And out on our board out there, it says West University Church of Christ, today's sermon, heavy metal. And then I saw that, I was like, well, maybe that'll bring some people who normally wouldn't come to church. Like, oh, yes, you know, heavy metal. And so hopefully we have that benefit. And, there is some heavy metal that I'll listen to. And, you know, so if you are a fan of heavy metal, we can talk about some of that. But that's not really the type of heavy metal we're going to be talking about today. It's a different type. But we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we're going to start off. Vince read for us from there, and it's of course the story of David and Goliath. We've been covering this idea the last couple weeks of God using the weak, God using the small, because it shows two things, a lot of things, but two things in particular. One, it shows how powerful God is, right? And the other is that it shows us that no matter what, we can be used, because it's not our power, but it's God's power. And in some of these sermons that we've been doing, like at least as I prepare them, it seems a little redundant. Some of the things that, you know, well, we're kind of covering the same thing each week, but maybe from a different angle or a different story. But I'm encouraged by that because I think it's something that we need to be hearing and remembering often, how powerful God is and how we can be used, and He wants to use us. And so that helps me when I look at myself and I see my own deficiencies, areas in which, you know, I wish were better, that, hey, God can still use me. And so that's what I really overall, what I want you to come away with from this sermon we're doing today. So let's just start off, let's jump right in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 4 through 11. We'll talk about that, and then we'll skip down, and we're going to read verses 32 through 47. So starting in verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. If you have a footnote in your Bible there and you look down, that's going to tell you that's about 125 pounds. His armor that he wore just on his, to protect his chest was 125 pounds. That's where I got the heavy metal, just so you know. I think that's more than David probably weighed, right? He's carrying that much weight. He's obviously a big guy, right? And he's coming out. The Philistine army's on one side. The Israelites are on the other. And Goliath would come out. And, of course, this is a threat, right? I mean, that's not the guy you want to go up against. His armor weighs more than you probably do. He on his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod. I don't know if any of you have a weaver's rod, but it's large. It's larger than a normal spear shaft. And its iron point weighed 600 shekels, 15 pounds. That's just the edge of his spear. Imagine a 15-pound weight that you're going to throw, and that's what he would hurl at his enemies, right? That's heavy metal. This guy had some, you know, he was big, and he had a lot of protection, and he had some weapons that you didn't want to go up against. He had a shield bearer that went ahead of him that probably helped protect him, fight with him, and also carried some other of his material. So this is the guy that would come out and shout threats towards the Israelite army, threats towards their God. Challenge them, come out. If you defeat me, we'll be enslaved to you. But if I defeat your warrior, then you will be a slave to us. And he did this, the Bible tells us, for 40 days. And no one would take him up on it because, I mean, who would? This guy's scary looking, right? This is sheer size, his armor. How are you even going to get through that? How are you going to pierce 125-pound armor? How are you going to dodge this massive spear that he could hurl at you? You'd be foolish to try to fight this guy. And so they all stayed back. The Bible tells us they were all terrified. In verse 11, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you're not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome and kill him, you'll become our subjects and you serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Not only all the Israelites, but Saul as well, their leader, their king, the one that they're supposed to look up to. You know, if you've ever been in a position where you are the leader, maybe on your job you run a team or you run a crew, or you know, maybe in your family you're the head of the household, whatever it might be, you're captain of the team or something like that. Everyone else might be scared, but if you're scared, then it's a game changer. Someone has to stay the course. Someone has to have confidence. Someone has to move the ship, keep it going forward, right? If the leader is scared, things start to crumble and fall apart. And of course, Saul was as scared as everyone else. He didn't go out and fight for his people. And of course, David shows up. David's not even in this battle. He's a boy. He's a shepherd. His father sends him because he has older brothers there that are in the lines with the Israelites, and he sends food for them and things like that. So he shows up and to get word what's going on. David shows up doing what his father said. He sees Goliath. He hears the shouts from him, and he's like, you know, hey, is anyone going to do anything? They're like, are you kidding me? Look at this guy. Who's going to go fight him? And he says, I'll go fight that guy. And his brothers are like, quit, you know, get out of here. You're annoying. You're bragging. What's wrong with you? Who even asked you to be here? You know, get out of here. But word gets back to Saul. Someone within the ranks of our lines has agreed to go fight the Philistine. Now, it sounds crazy. Why would they even entertain this notion when you find out that it's David, this young boy, that's going to go fight him? Why they even entertain this? But David must have had some kind of confidence that they caught on to, right? I mean, he told Saul, look, I've gone up against the bears and lions. When they come and attack my sheep, I've killed them with my own bare hands. I'll do the same thing to this Philistine. Like, I'm not scared of this guy. And, you know, even then, you know, sometimes you can be more confident than smart. You know, that's possible. But even then, they didn't say, look, I appreciate, you know, your thought and that you want to do something, but you're a boy. They let him go. And I think that says more about how scared they were. Like, well, you know, we got to do something. We've been out here for 40 days. We have no answer. Let's just send them. You know, maybe while he's fighting, we can run away. I don't know what they're thinking, but they allowed David to go out and fight. So they say, all right, you can go. All right. So let's read now. Let's start in verse, where am I at? 32. Skip ahead with me to 32. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. That's pretty impressive. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I would have my neighbors down the street. When they go out of town, they had a cat. And they say, can you feed our cat? I say, yeah, I'll feed your cat. And they say, well, he wanted a nice cat. And multiple times, this cat, like, came at me and scratched my leg up. You know, here I am trying to feed it, do a good thing with this cat, and he would fight. I never once grabbed the cat by its fur. Like, I was scared of a cat. David's doing this with a lion, right? He's brave. He's had to do this. Why? Have you ever thought about this? Was David just one of these guys that was just next level? You know, growing up, I always wanted to be I wanted to ride skateboards. The problem was concrete. It's painful, right? It's not forgiving. And I see these guys doing these amazing things, and I'm thinking there's something up there that doesn't connect. They have no fear. I wished I had that, right? I'm not afraid of getting hurt on concrete. Is that who David is? Was he just like, he didn't recognize the true danger of a lion? I don't think so. I think he was charged by his father, protect the sheep. He understood how important they were, and he respected his father, and his job was to protect the sheep. And he was going to do whatever it took to obey his father. You getting that? It wasn't about whether or not he was scared or brave or strong or tough. It was about the position he was in and the role he was given and willing to do it, even if he was scared or if it was difficult. Jesus Christ, he comes to the cross. Why? Because he wanted to? Of course not. But he wanted to please his Father. He was in a position, he had something that he had to do, and he was going to overcome those things, that, you know, those temptations that might lead him away from that, to do what his Father wanted him to do, right? Church, that's us. We've been assigned a task. Right? We have been assigned a task. We are the light in this world. We are the salt of this earth. Our goal is not to just live our own lives and pursue our own goals, but it's to do what our Father in heaven has asked us to do. To reach out to those who are lost, to feed those who are sick, to clothe those who don't have clothes. Right? There's things that we are supposed to be about. To walk along beside people when they're hurting. To be with people when they are lonely. And it might be difficult sometimes, and it might be challenging, and it might pull us away from the things that we really want to do, but we want to honor the one who sent us. And so whatever things might be in our way, we need to overcome those. So David, he struck it and killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. He doesn't say, because I'm such a great warrior, right? He told him, look, I fought things before and I've won. Why? Because I'm so great? No, because I believe God's with me, right? I was assigned a task and I was going to do it. But this guy's going to be like one of those. Why? Because he's defying the armies of God. That's why. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Now get this, verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. So Saul puts this armor on David. Well, here, let me try to protect you, right? Let me put some armor on you, some things that will keep you safe from this Philistine. I can't imagine this 15-pound spearhead hurled at David that this armor would have done any good. But, you know, hey, it's something, right? David, it's like putting a seatbelt on the airplane. Okay, all right. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I can't go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Right? I can't wear this. I'm not used to this. It slows me down. This is not how I do battle, right? It's not going to do me any good. In fact, it's going to hurt me. This thing that you think is going to protect me is actually going to slow me down and keep me from doing what I need to do. It looks good. I look the part. I can have some kind of faith in this armor, right? I can have some kind of, well, this will, I guess, protect me if I get hit. But really, it's going to slow him down. And he recognizes that. And he's wise enough to say, I'd be better off without it. I'm not used to them. So he takes them off. Then he took, here's the weapons that he chooses. His staff. I don't know what he's going to do with the stick, right? It's like Donatello the Ninja Turtle with the stick. Like, what are you going to do with that, Donatello? All right. He took a staff. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with the sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. So he's got a sling, he's got a bag full of rocks, and he's got a wooden staff. Okay? No armor. And here he comes walking out. You can imagine the Philistines on the other side. They see this boy coming out, and they're probably thinking, well, you know, maybe that's the shield bearer, or you know, maybe they're going to try to bring a peace offering or whatever it is. And so you're waiting and then, no, that's their warrior. What are you thinking? I mean, you know, it'd be humorous, really. You'd be like, man, you almost feel bad for David. Like, ah, man, come on, Goliath, go easy on him. He doesn't even have any armor on, right? Meanwhile, the Philistine, with the shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He did not like David. He probably didn't like the idea that this is who they send out to him also, right? Extremely insulting. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And then what Vince read for us. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with the sword and the spear and javelin. You come at me with your heavy metal, right? You got your armor. You think you know your strength, your size, your ability, the fact that you've been a warrior your whole life. You're coming at me with all of these things. And that's how you're expecting to win this, he says. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I come against you in the name of the Lord. I'm doing what God wants me to do. That's all the protection that David needs. the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that there is a God in Israel. It's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And you know how the story goes. Goliath approaches, David takes the rock and the sling, he slings it, hits the Goliath right in the middle of the head, right? He crashes down face first. And if you're in children's Bible class, that's where the story ends. But you're in the adult class, David goes and gets Goliath's own sword, his own heavy metal, and he chops off Goliath's head, right? Can you imagine being a Philistine and seeing this? All right, this would, you know, they do turn and run. The Israelites pursue, they take over, they win the battle because David trusted in God. When my son, my oldest son was a little boy, he was in the Bible class, and they did this story, and they get to the end, and he raised his hand, and he said, "You missed the best part." You know, and then he told what the best part was, and the rest of the class was like, "What?" But, so anyway. Luke chapter 11, verse 21 and 22. Jesus is talking in Luke chapter 11 about, you know, he's not necessarily talking about this, talking about demons and things, but this is what he says. He says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe." When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. We're like that a lot. We want to protect the things that we have materially, right? We put cameras on our doorbells, right? We got cameras in our house. We got locks. We got alarm systems. We might cover the windows. We might have, you know, a weapon in our house to protect ourselves because we want to protect our home, right? And it makes sense. We protect ourselves in other areas. We protect our finances, right? We have them in a safe bank. We want to protect our families, right? We want to protect our churches and our nations. And we do these things, right? And if we weaponize ourselves, if we're strong enough, or we have enough armor, we can do these things. And we have some faith in them. Then he says this, "But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away his armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder." Interesting. You can have all that you want, but if someone stronger than you shows up, it's really not going to do any good. That armor that you might have been trusting in, they take it away, and the things that you were trying to protect. Goliath was a strong man, and he had armor. But somebody stronger showed up. And the faith that he had in his protection and his strength and his might and his size and what he's done before, it didn't equate to the one he was going up to battle against. Because it really wasn't David, right? It was God that he was up against. And God took away his armor. Everything that Goliath was trusting in was taken away from him, and he lost his life because of it. So what about us? What armor do we trust in? As we look out into this world and we see what God wants us to do and the path that he wants us to take, is our faith in the right place? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. You probably know this scripture already before you even turn there. I'm sorry, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and put on his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Put on the full armor of God. Saul put his armor on David, right? Or at least some armor on David to protect him. And David recognized that that armor was actually going to slow him down. He was not going to be able to do what God needed him to do. Instead, he wanted to put on God's armor. He came at Goliath in the name of the Lord. That was his protection. That was his shield. He didn't need any of the other armor that everyone else trusted in because his trust was in God. That's the armor that we should be trusting in, the armor of God. Put on the armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, because the devil is scheming. He is coming at us. He wants to take us down. Where are we putting our trust? Is our trust in our own faith? Right? Well, I've been a Christian my whole life. I won't struggle when Satan comes at me, when things get difficult. Is my faith in my own finances or my own career and my own intelligence? I'm too smart to fall for that. Is it in my place in society, my status? Is it in my citizenship? Right? Do I trust in that my country is going to protect me no matter what? Is it in my own popularity? Is my faith in my own appearance, my youth, my strength? Where is my faith at? What am I trusting in? We sometimes put so much into these other things that we think we're going to be okay because of anything that's not of God. It's in the wrong place. Right? Our faith needs to be in the armor of God and how He can protect us. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We need protection from that. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Not like the Israelites who are ready to run away and oftentimes did run away when things got difficult, but to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, sometimes it's easier to lie than it is to tell the truth. We're scared sometimes to speak the truth when we need to. But where's our faith? Where's our trust? If we're trusting in God, we should be able to speak the truth. The belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Your feet ready to move forward, to take good news to people. Oftentimes we are scared to do this. We live in a world where, you know what, your opinions are yours and you don't need to push them onto me. And so we kind of have that idea as if we're pushing something on someone rather than bringing them good news. My faith is in Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. This is good news. I should have feet ready to go and tell people this message. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Arrows against the evil one. We're going to come back to this idea here in just a minute. But Satan hurling things at us to attack us. Is our faith strong enough in God to be able to save us from these attacks? The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Go back and look at Ephesians chapter 6 here later today or tonight. Right? Go back and look at these things. Think of them. Is this how you are going out of your home every day, right? Or oftentimes in our own home is where Satan attacks. Are these the things that we're using to protect ourselves, or are we putting faith in other areas? Let's go back to Saul, right? Saul was taller than most men. We know that. He obviously had power. He, you know, was a good warrior. You know, he did win some battles when he trusted in God. He had this armor that he trusted in. But Saul eventually did not do what God wanted him to do. Right? He wanted to choose his own path and do his own thing. And bad things were going to come his way. And sure enough, we could read in 1 Samuel chapter 31, where Saul is injured critically in a battle by, guess what? Arrows. He's hit by multiple arrows and he's ruined. He's injured and it's critical. He knows he's going to die. He asks his armor bearer to kill him. His armor bearer's like, I'm not going to do that. So Saul takes his own life because he doesn't want to be captured by the enemy and tortured. He knows he's going to die. Saul takes his own life, all right, on the battlefield. We come to verse 8 in chapter 31. The battle's over. The Philistines are coming to take their plunder from those that are dead. The next day when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gibeah. They cut off his head and stripped off his armor. This is how Saul ended up. The same way Goliath ended up. They cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and they sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among their people. They put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths. Saul was trusting in his own armor, in his own ability. He didn't want to do what God wanted to do. God wanted him to do. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And he thought because of his power and his position, all the things that he had, and even here in battle, his own army, that he was going to be okay. But he was stripped of that army. He ended up like that Philistine that also put his faith in his own armor, his own heavy metal, his own ability, and lost his life for it as well. When you read a few chapters over, a few books over, 1 Kings chapter 20, you have King Ahab. King Ahab's not really a good king at all, but he has one of the best trash-talking lines in the entire Bible. I think it's fitting here. Ahab is one of these, we're not going to really get into it, but he's a horrible person, and he's very easily influenced by evil people, but there are some times you really feel for him, because he's just, you know, he's kind of this spineless guy, but there's one moment where he actually does what God wants him to do and wins a battle, right? And that happens in 1 Kings chapter 20. And so there's Ben-Hadad, who is, gigantic army, multiple nations have come together to fight against Israel. And it's Ahab, and he's got a small army, and he's like, hey, you're going to give me all your stuff, and I'm going to come here and take it all. And he's like, that's too much, you know. And Ben-Hadad says, all right, look, I'm going to come through and rampage y'all so much, you're not even going to be able, no Israelite's going to be able to grab a handful of dust. There's going to be nothing left. That's pretty good trash talking. And then Ahab tells him this: one who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off. That's pretty good. One who puts on his armor should not boast like the one who takes it off. You know, you may put on your armor and you may think you're going to be protected, but the real winner is the one who's able to take off his own armor. Because if you don't survive, someone else is taking your armor off, like they did with Saul, like they did with Goliath. We may go into battle. We may face this world, right, trusting in things that are not God. That's a boastful mindset, trusting in our own armor. And it's easy to boast when you're putting on your own armor. Will you be there to boast when it's time to take off the armor? That's the question. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, we're going to close with this. What about our boasting? Where should it be? Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 is quoted multiple times by Paul in the New Testament. This is what the Lord says: let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. We boast that we know God, that we know his will, that we're doing what he wants. And what does he delight in? Justice, righteousness, kindness. This is what we should be able to boast about. Our own armor, it won't last that long. Doesn't matter how heavy that metal is, it's not going to protect us in the end. Let's put our faith and our trust in God and what he has for us. And even if we are scared, even if we are unsure in ourselves, we can be sure in the power of God, the one that raised his son from the dead, right? That's who we trust in. That's who we boast in. And let him do amazing things in us. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll have a song of invitation. And if there's anything that this church can pray for you about, if you want to place membership here, or if you'd like to be baptized, right? If you'd like to receive this power that comes from God that he freely gives to us through the Holy Spirit, you can do that as we stand and sing. But let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, we bow our heads before you. Father, you are an amazing God. You have all the power, Father. You have all the wisdom. You have all the strength. You have all everything, Father. It's all yours. Father, we apologize. We ask for forgiveness when times when we think that we're strong enough, that we think we have enough. We're in a position that can't be shaken, Father. These are false thoughts, Father. We don't want to boast in our own items, our own abilities. We want to boast in you, Father. Help us recognize areas in which we need to hand over to you. We want to trust in you, in your strength, Father. We don't want to be weighed down by this heavy metal of things of this world that we think protect us but really keep us from trusting in you, Father. We ask that you help us remove those things, Father, and if we don't remove them ourselves, Father, I ask that you do that for us. You take off our armor for us, Father, so that we can put on your armor. We come to you, Father, this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who trusted fully and completely in you, Father. our brother, our Savior, our King. We want to be like him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.